happen.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. Gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Need a little help. Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Politicians,
Everybody, we all need each other. No more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. Welcome, 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 listeners all around this beautiful world. And just happy and glad you chose to tune in to bring back the family, focusing on the youth. You know, if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. First, we want to acknowledge God with a scripture and prayer. And we're going to read scripture from my favorite scripture, from Romans 12, 1 through 13. A living sacrifice to God. Romans 12, 1 through 13, which says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning to don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you an ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving generously, give generously. If your gift is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality, and may the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great, mighty word." And let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We enter in your presence with hearts of giving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you for the Blog Talk Radio and the avenue of bringing back the family. God, we pray that you will use us in this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family in the manner that you meant for families to operate. Lord God, please let Bring Back the Family provide a way to help our children do what you have for them to do. We are your children, Lord. Please help our parents the parents to give us what is needed to make it in this world. And, Lord, we know that the things we need the most is more of you. Father God, we have a name that brings back the family, concentrates on the youth. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion so reminded that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak, and to them that are listening, let your glory come forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. Okay. Hey, wake up everybody. You know, I love that song because it says so much. It says a lot, and it's just a call for the people to wake up. Wake up to what's happening around us. It's a call for the people to wake up, to get engaged, to make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. So whose responsibility is it? No more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better, because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. And who is willing to be responsible and to sacrifice and take the responsibility to making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Okay? Who's willing, and are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds? So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this world. You know, all I need, our youth need is a new start, a do-over, a bogey, you know, and they need us to help them, okay? My dad always said, all they need is a good foundation. And that's what we're here to help them with, to get a good foundation, a good start. Okay? And they get a good foundation, a good start, then that's something solid that they can stand on. Okay? So what are we going to make up in our minds to do to make this world a better place for our youth and our children, who will be in charge of the next chapters of life? They're going to be carrying the torch, running the race, and doing great things because we prepared them to do those things. We prepared them for the future. So today, we're going to talk about communication and talking with our youth. Communicating and talking to our youth in order to bring back the family relationships and respect that we were raised on. We have to meet the youth right where they are and try to understand the way that they think about life in order for us to bring our life experiences to their life. We have to get to know them and who they are, what they like, why they think the way they think. Just listen to them and ask questions about what they feel and what they know, and be genuinely concerned, you know, with their conversation. That's how we're going to be able to get to you and to really make some sense out of what's going on in their world, you know, because this is their time. We had the time that they had at one time, and so now this is their time, and somebody understood us. And so now we have to try to understand the next generation, the ones that's coming behind us, so that they don't just get slaughtered and, you know, just left to be slaughtered. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about today. And so how and what are we going to do to help our youth in order to reach them and teach them? Communication, listening, just starting a simple conversation. Like I said, we have to meet them, the youth, right where they are and just start right there. Just let them talk. Find out what interests them. And then when they talk, ask questions to better understand, let them know that you are paying attention and you care about what they're talking about. Because when you engage, you will hear important words. You'll see certain movements and things that they say that will trigger maybe a talent that they have that you see that they might not see. Then, you know, start throwing out ideas to encourage them about what you see. You know, that will maybe give them some kind of insight about them and their talents, okay, that they don't realize that they have, okay? I had a conversation with a young lady. She's 12 years old, and, you know, she spoke very well. She was very expressive. Her clothing that she wear is different from others. And she just speaks fluently. She has a good, you know, a good conversation. You wouldn't know that unless you take a minute to talk to that person, talk to a youth or a kid or a child, even the little ones, 4 and 5 years old, have conversations and intelligent things to say. So she speaks very, very intelligently. When you talk to them, find out what their issues are, you know, what their cares and concerns are, what they like, what they dislike, what their needs are, what their wants are, and where they might need help or maybe need help. So, like I said, I spoke with this 12-year-old, and so I was just kind of asking the questions after she talked to me. We were just engaged and just having a good time. And so at the end, you know, she was really very expressive. And I was like, golly, you're really talented, you know. And I told her, I said, you need to get you a YouTube station and just talk about those things that you just talked to me about. You know, she talked about her school and she talked about her teachers and what she liked about her teachers, what she didn't like about her teachers, and just, you know, a lot of valid, you know, important concerns that she had that we should talk to our kids about. You know, they're sitting in class and they might not even be understanding or the teachers have bad attitudes towards them and, you know, saying negative things to them no encouragement whatsoever. And so these are some of the concerns that, you know, some of the young people have, that they're going to school and basically, you know, being put down. If we don't talk to the kids and ask them about what's going on in school, what's going on in their life with father and what's on their mind, you know, what they want to talk about, or just listening to them talk, you know, they'll bring up those things that you don't even realize that's going on. You know, and so, yeah, and so what I got from her is she was just very, very creative. She speaks well, and, you know, she has some little concerns and issues that's going on that can be worked out if just somebody give her that quality time that she needs to talk about the things that she needs to talk about. So I take it that she just needs to go, you know, go to church and engage in, you know, the Sunday schools and some of the other young folk at the church and, you know, the young ministers at the church and things like that, that'll help her with these little issues and concerns that she has going on. And then just keeping her busy and just making sure that she have all these things that she needs. She's very expressive. She loves different things. She's very creative, so she needs to get some art supplies going. She needs to have plenty of things to write with, colors and lots of paper and scrapbooks and things like that, because I see all this creative artsiness in her. And very, very 12-year-old intelligent little lady. So that's what we need to do. We need to, you know, just sit down and talk with these young people and find out what's on their mind and what they need. We got all we need. So we need to find out what's on the young folk mind. And so what are we going to we could talk about what we can do, what we will and can do for the youth to help them to get what they need to make it. What sacrifices are we willing or will we make to help a youth, a young person, get what is needed? So what we could do is we could look around on our streets, on our block, in our community, and see what the young people and children and youth are doing. Start a conversation with them. If you see them out there, you know, most of the kids out there right now, they're in the street, they're playing basketball. So what can we do to help them? You know, we might not want them to play basketball in the street. What can we do to help them to go and do some other things? And then you might see your youth out there doing something that they shouldn't be doing something wrong. Take that time to give them some wise instruction, which is love. Encourage them to do better. Have some conversation with them and find out what's going on. Because one day they're not going to be little. They're going to be, you know, older. They're going to be teenagers and then adults. And what we see now is little people may carry over to their adulthood, and we could have stopped it then and, you know, encouraged them with something, with some encouragement, maybe giving them a project or something real constructive to do, and then, you know, reward them for that. And then, you know, instead of them out there doing something wrong, we'll give them something constructive to do and to keep them busy. And that could be our project, your project or a project for them to do. And we reward them for them. Let them know you get paid for doing good things, you know. And so those are just some things that we could do to encourage and help our youth if we see them out there doing the wrong thing. You know, if we just see them on the streets playing or just idle time and not doing anything. It's our job to give them something to do, okay? So when we hear about different programs for the youth to engage in the summer or anytime, don't keep all that information to yourself. You know, we got the DAPSET program. We have the Wayne State have some math programs going on. It's a lot of things going on. And if you get some information from your church or wherever you get the information from, put it on a flyer and give it out to your neighbors and your friends and, you know, on your block. Or send somebody a text or tell a parent. Somehow get the info out to your block or whoever you see in the community. Like I said, the DAPSET, Wayne State Math Tutoring Summer Camp, a lot of those things are going on. And, you know, job information. We have job information that you can circulate in your community. When you see young people out, you know, just doing their thing, the youngins and the teenagers and the young adults. You know, give them the information that you receive so that they can engage and go and get what they need, okay? Keep them off the streets. Keep them busy. We have to give them something, okay? I know I asked a young man across the street from me. He has about five or six kids, little ones. And I asked him to give me a boost one day. And so he did, and we started a conversation. He told me that he was about to start a program, I think some kind of construction, or I'm not sure, but I know it was with the city of Detroit. And I was like, wow, where'd you find that information from? You know, he said, well, he said it was a program that you sent me in a text. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And it was like it was from the city of Detroit, and I remembered that. And so you never know who will who you'll be helping or who will take advantage of the information that you give them or who needs it. You know, I said, he got five kids. He needs some information. Anytime I get some information, I do text it to him or put it in his mailbox or something like that. And then surprisingly, he took advantage and looked into one of the programs for the city of Detroit. And I know he's supposed to find out when he start on the 25th. So I think that's coming up. So we're going to pray that he get that job or training that he applied for. Okay. So I thought that was cool. Yeah. Yeah, people need information. And when you give them information like that, you just never know who needs it. And then you could feel like you're helping somebody, you know. They'll come back and they'll tell you, yeah, you gave me this, and look where I'm at now. So if we want to be able to help our young people and get us all working and give us something to look forward to, then those are the things that we should do. Just take some time out, you know, type up the information on some paper or text it to somebody and let them know what's going on in around in the community as far as jobs and training and information for the youth, programs for the youth, okay? Let me see. Yeah, so that's it. Summer camp applications are still available. So anybody that want to go DAPSEP, they got the summer camp applications available. What else was it? It said PSA is still hiring. The Oakwood Group has a program, a training for a tree trimming academy. When I get the information, I think it's going to be on you could check the Runner for Christ Ministries, rfcm.org, and that information is going to be on there as far as that tree training academy. And I think that, let me see, Twig sent it to me. Okay. I'll let you know that at the end of the show. So, yes, you know, our youth, they're important. If we don't want to be victims later for not helping our youth now, then, you know, we got to get busy. We have to get busy. If the summer is coming and the youth need to be busy doing what they do, if you have some programs going on at your church, just pick those kids up in the neighborhood. If you, you know, talk to their parents, if they're on the streets, most of the time the parents, I mean, they care. Most of them be like, okay, come and get them, you know. They know you. And they don't mind you taking their kids to church or whatever. Then pick them up and take them. You know, if your church has some program for the kids going on, I got a 15 passenger van. So look out, Runner for Christ Ministries. I'm bringing those kids, so we're gonna be ready. Okay. Yeah. So let me see what else we got. Okay, I know, what did we talk about in our church today? Our pastor talked about, he said something that hit me real good. He said, how many people have you moved with your Christian life? So if you have a good Christian life, you study the Bible, you know, you trust God as your Savior, how many people have you moved with your Christian life? And it could be the same thing. How many children or youth or people have we moved towards helping them to be able to help themselves? Okay, what are we doing to help the next generation to get where it is that they need to be? Okay. And it's just as simple as resources, you know, resources or just chipping in, buying a book, giving a book out, talking to them about education. A lot of simple things that we could do just to encourage our kids to be the best that they could be. Because this is it's about the kids, because we're grown adults, most, you know, and so we have to make a way for the next generation to be able to be successful in life. And it just makes the world a better place, you know, because we need doctors. We need teachers. We need lawyers. We need healthcare professionals. Okay, we need chefs. We need mechanics, law enforcement. Okay, we need all of those things and so many more. It's just so many careers and professions out there, and who's going to do them? We have to prepare them to be able to do all of those professions, those jobs. Somebody have to do them. You got these hospitals. It's like a big old giant machine. And so that machine got to run. And who's going to run it? Our children. So put them in a position where that they can be where they need to be to get these positions. Mm-hmm. They have to know how to read. They have to know how to write. I know Keila Freeman was saying the other day that when her son is a good reader, an excellent reader, because she used to read to him while he was in the belly. And so she said that she read him all day. And her mom used to say, "Why are you doing all that reading all those books or whatever like that?" She said, "Just be a mom, you know." But she said she continued to read to her son, and right now he's an excellent, excellent reader. So yeah, they have to hear you, you know, if they're in the belly. So if that's what will help, start reading to those babies in the belly. Start telling these young ladies when you see them walking around with their bellies, you know, that read to your child while they're in the belly so that when they come out, they'll know how to read. They'll want to read. They'll be like, okay, what's reading about? Because I remember somebody reading to me all day. Okay, so I thought that was cool. So whatever we could do, because we are in desperate need of teachers. So it's time for, and there's so many programs out there now, they're letting you get your teaching degree in like 2 years now because they have such a shortage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always ask kids when I see them, I don't care who they are. I just ask them when I'm out and I see them and they look at me, I'm going to say something to them. And so even the little ones, they say, I say, well, where are you going to be when you grow up? And I ran into two little twins, one of my schoolmates I ran into at the gas station. She had her twin grandkids with her. And I asked them, I said, so what y'all going to be when you grow up? And both of them said they were going to be doctors. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, they said doctors. They didn't say football players or basketball players and all that. They said they were going to be doctors. I said, well, what kind of doctors are going to be? They said, well, we don't know. You know, there was only like, I think, 6 or 7. And then the little boy said, I'm going to be a doctor and I'm going to be a football player. I said, okay, that works. I said, because you can use that football to get through college or whatever, but you got to get good grades. That'll take you through college too as well. So they were just having a conversation. They were some little people. And so I was just glad to hear that they said, you know, that they were going to be doctors. And then I was out working, and I asked another little boy. He was real, real active. And I said, now, what you going to be when you grow up? And he, first thing he said, I'm going to be a football player. I said, okay, well, okay, you could be a football player, but maybe think about something else that you want to be too, you know, because you could be an engineer, you could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be anything you want to be, okay? Football and basketball and all that is very good for physical fitness. It's very good. And it's good for, you know, getting an education. But, you know, you can get good grades. So that'll get your education as well. So, hey, it's all good. God gonna bless whatever it is. Okay. All right. So, if you want to have a word to say, open up your mind. Just press 1 if you want to comment or have a word to say or participate in the conversation. Just press 1, and I will open your mic, and you can tell us what our parents and us and what we could do for the youth this summer to help them, okay? Any good ideas, suggestions, what you're going to do this summer for your youth or the youth in your community, on your street, on your block, because like we say, block by block, this is what we want to do. You do something in your block that's going to help your youth, you know, in your block. I have a lot of kids in my block, and I just can't wait to do a lot for them. And so far, I have them doing odd and end jobs and things like that. Help me cut the grass, help me do paperwork, filing, and cleaning up, and, you know, things that they used to have us do back in the day, because they still need to know how to do those things. Just, you know, I have them writing me papers and reading some books, and I pay them with my little money that I make, and it's okay, you know. I'll waste it somewhere else. I don't mind giving it to them or sharing with them, because they like these kids around here, they like to make money. And so they'll read a book, and then they'll give me a book report, and I love that. And then they give me their grades. They make sure they try to do good in school, and they give me their grades, and I, you know, hand them out their little change or whatever, and they appreciate it, and they can hang out with me sometime. And then I'm going to take them some places this summer if they want to go to the beach, if they want to go to, you know, amusement park, or we're going to, you know, go downtown, to maybe the courts if they're open. We're going to go just do some things downtown. We're just going to get in the van and we're just going to hang out some. So that's what I plan to do. And then eventually we're going to have our kickoff or our Bring Back the Family show. I think it's almost been a year on Father's Day. Last year we started this show. And so we plan on having a big bike ride and a family bike ride where we all ride as a family, the mom, the dad, the kids, the neighbors, just everybody in the community is going to ride. And we're going to ride. We're going to have our T-shirts. We'll bring back the family. And then we're going to go to a park or a designated place that we're trying to get right now. And we're going to have vendors there from the different people that spoke on our show, and others, you know, that's going to represent. We have nurses there. We have different professions there so that that the kids can and the parents and the kids can engage and talk to the different professions and see, you know, where their kids might want to do one day. And then Ms. Gaskin, Nico, Dr. Gaskin will be there with her program, Declaring Your Success. And each one of those kids, before they leave there, they're going to declare what it is that they want to be, what they want to do. Okay, so we're just going to let them get ready, you know, because they have to get ready. I saw on the news the other day where they had a person who has a program where she helps the I don't know what age they start, but help them with navigating through the education system as far as going to college. So she's going to be doing that for I'm not sure what age group she's going to start at, but all of the ins and out about going to college, all the paperwork, and navigate them through that. And I thought that was cool. So one day I'm going to get in touch with that person and have her on our show so that she could share some of that information with us. Because that's our goal, to get all our kids to go to college, you know, just do something, get a skill. Everybody needs some kind of skill. They do. And our kids can learn. They can learn. They are smart, and we need to tell them that they're smart every day, that they're smart, they're beautiful, they're strong, all those good words to encourage them, because they need to hear. You know how you feel when you want somebody to say something good to you? You don't want anybody to say anything bad to you. So how does it feel when somebody encourages you? So our babies need to be encouraged at all times, all times. They have a lot against them, a whole lot going against them. So we need to start communicating with them, conversating, finding out what's on their mind, what are their cares, what are their concerns, what they're worried about, if they ain't worried, what's their favorite color. Just, you know, conversation. And that way, I mean, that's how we had it. Okay? That's how we had it. All our neighbors were able to chastise us, was able to communicate with us and talk to us. And if we were doing something wrong, they were able to talk to us about it, correct us, and lead and guide us in the right direction. So if we start back talking to our youth, talking to them, engaging and having some conversation, that will bring the communication and the relationships back, and the respect that has been just thrown out the window. And so if they know that we're on their side and that we care for them, you know, they can learn how to bring that respect back, okay? Because I don't know, we got to show them respect for them to, you know, show them and teach them, okay?
Yeah.
And they learn from us. I don't know how the respect got thrown out the window, but we got to bring it back in the window, okay? Yeah, so let's start talking to these kids. We can't be afraid of them. It's better to help them right now while they're on this side. Help them right now while they're little and while they're young. And then if we tell them something, they'll remember it. They'll think about what you said, because I know we all remember everything that our parents told us, you know. So we have to start communicating with these kids. We can't be afraid of them. And if we wait till they get too old to start communicating with them, they're going to already have their own minds made up and continue to do what we're seeing. Okay? All righty. So somebody say something. Press 1. Press 1. And somebody have something to something good say. You know, you care about these kids. You got anything that you can share with us that'll help another family, another kid, any information that you might have, we will be glad to hear it. Okay? All right. Here we go. 8031. You are on Back to the Family. Bring back the family. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm just fine.
A
how
wonderful
are you?
A wonderful show you're going. I came in a little late. Thought it was at 4
uh-huh.
o'clock.
Uh-huh.
But I appreciate everything you do. I'm trying to get the youth together. This is Miss Carly.
I know this, Miss Carly. I know that voice and those digits. Hey, Miss Carly, this is Amber's grandma. Good to hear from you.
Oh, likewise. I enjoyed. I'm a little late listening to the show because I had an errand to pick up. So, but
okay.
I'm still going to continue. I just want to holler in and say hello, and God bless
good.
You.
Well, thank you for all that you do for your grandchildren and, you know, making sure that they, making sure that they have what they need to make it, because they are on their way to success. I love it. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you, too, for your
support. Forget what you've done
for
them.
Okay.
Hey, that's what we do. That's what we do. Yes, we supposed to support each other, because it says, wake up, everybody, no more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead, and we all need each other.
Right.
Yeah, we all need each other. Yes, we do, because that's how it was back in the day. We all needed each other, all the neighbors, everybody helped one another, children. It was just, it was a lovely thing. So I just want to see that again. I do.
Right.
At least that way. Uh-huh. Yep. It can happen. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. I will talk, but I'm sitting out in the air now. So I said, let me just call and holler in this time. I appreciate everything you do for the listeners, engaging the kids. The support that you have out here, the resource out here, it's good.
Good deal. Keep on listening and just keep on spreading that word and spreading the information, because somebody needs it somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Thanks for listening and calling in.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You too. Thank you.
Stay on. Stay tuned. Okay. All right, yep, like I said, we're going to have that kickoff. I think it's going to be in August first part of August, and we're going to ride our bikes. And like I said, we're going to have vendors, and I just got big ideas. And all our team, we're going to get together, and we're going to have a good kickoff of bringing back the family. Okay, 0194, you are on Bring Back the Family. Hello. Hello. 0194. Hello, you're on Bring Back the Family. Can't hear you. Okay. I think 0194 is not hearing me. Hello, are you on Bring Back the Family? 0194 is your last four digits of your number. You are on Bring Back the Family. Did you have a comment? Okay, so once you're ready, 0194, that's 929 area code, we'll come back to you. Okay, anyone else want to have something to say? You got a celebration you want to shout out? You have some good ideas for the summer or for our youth? Any programs that you want to announce? Just press 1. And I will open up your mic. Okay. I want to say congratulations again to Shania Cox for graduating from Michigan State University last week and the week before. And now she is moving to Cincinnati to work with company, I think it's the Hormel Food Company. So good luck and blessings in all those endeavors and your moving and all of that, and being selected for that position. Proud of you. Okay. All right. Anybody have anything else to shout out that they want to shout out? You are free to. Let me see, check the 0194. Hello? You're on Bring Back the Family.
Yeah, I was just listening.
Oh, you're just listening?
Yeah. It's West Top.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good deal. You had pressed 1. I thought you had something to say.
Yeah.
No,
not at the moment. Yeah, not at the moment.
Okay. Well, keep listening. Thanks for calling in. Keep listening. Cool. Just keep listening. That's great. All righty. Let me see. Anybody else want to have a word to say? Okay. Well, hey, we'll bring our awesome Pastor O.N., and he could come on and say his words of encouragement, and we can keep on moving. Let me see. Okay, so while we're waiting on Awesome O, we will just invite anybody that want to have a comment. If they want to make any announcement or something, comment, announcement, have anything that your youth are going to be doing this summer. Okay, here we go. 1483. You're on Bring Back the Family. Hello.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hey there, Mrs. Pierce. How you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yesterday I went to a book sale, and they're having a lot of these libraries are selling their books, and it's a good they were selling at the library in Romulus a bag of books for $4 or either a dollar a book. And I picked up several books, and I plan on sending them to my grandchildren. And whenever, you know, parents see these libraries having book sales, go in there and start building your children's libraries. And I bought some of the books. I bought two of because since one of my since my grandchildren live in different states, I figure, especially one is going to fifth grade this fall, I figure that we're going to read the book together so that I can make sure that he is reading at grade level and he's understanding what he's reading and he can at the same time build up his vocabulary. And so that's just a idea for young parents out there. You know, get some books. Everything's on the computer. And as long as the child is reading, that's great. But books are going away like the dinosaur. So, but there have, you know, there are a lot of books out there. Even if your child can't read, I know, Ebony, you have a little boy, and this is the perfect time to read to him, even though he may not understand everything you're saying, but he'll see that you read to him and making little facial expressions and read to your children because when you read to your children, they'll become adults that read. So that was my tip for today. Thank you.
Books are always good. Thank you, Ms. Pierce. You're right on point.
Yeah.
Makila was saying she read to her son while he was in the womb, and he's an excellent reader now. He's a young man now, grown up. But she said that he was a good reader from, like, age two. And actually, someone was telling me about Nick Cannon's son, 2 years old or 3 years old, speaks three different languages. And his two-year-old, I think he said he just speaks, you know, fluently, English fluently, just, you know, gifted.
Yeah.
So they can read. If you give them, you know, books and teach them, they will learn. They will learn, and that's good, you know. And our kids should be learning other languages because that help them in their future and for selection of jobs and things like that. It's good to know other languages.
Especially Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very important.
Mm-hmm. And Arabic also, a big population of Arabic-speaking people in this country as well as Spanish, but I remember someone complaining that when they moved to Florida down in near the Miami area, that because they weren't fluent in Spanish, that they wouldn't even look at their application. So, I guess down there where they have a lot of people come over from Cuba, they speak in the native tongue. And if you can't communicate with them in Spanish, then you may be out of luck. So young people, try to learn some of these different languages because a lot of these people come to this country as immigrants and they already know their language and they get the job because they're fluent in their own native language and they only need to have a basic knowledge of English. So, so it's a good deal to try to introduce your children early to another language, even if you have to send them to a tutor to learn that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Early on, they need to learn those languages because I know someone was telling me about their kid went to a daycare and he was speaking their language. Had learned how to speak their language, and mother was a little frustrated because he didn't know his language. But that I thought that was cool that, you know, his babysitter spoke another language, and so that's what he was raised up on, another language, and he spent a lot of time at that daycare. So that's a good thing because you can always learn English, and you teach it to them. Yep, and I think you get, like, some some tapes and different languages that you could just let your kids listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember I knew someone that they would talk to their kid in Spanish all the time, and he just learned Spanish just like that when you just talk to him in Spanish. He knew all the colors and all the numbers and knew quite a bit. So our kids can learn. And if you want to be worldwide and be able to travel and go other places and things like that, other countries, then it's good to have that up under your belt. So let's not be afraid to teach, to let our kids go and help them, you know, be special, do something different, learn some languages. And reading, like you said, reading is good for the to build the vocabulary. Yeah, because if you can't read, you can't really talk that well. Yeah. Very important. Okay, let me see who else we have. Thanks, Sister Pierce. Okay. Anybody else want to have a word to say? Okay, well, let's bring the awesome Pastor O in and let him encourage us like he always does. Hey, Pastor O, awesome.
Hey, how you doing this evening? I was answering, I was talking on here with Maria Dawi from Indonesia. And
oh.
The question, and there was a question on the table is what makes homosexuality evil? And so what I was doing was sending her from the scriptures what God had to say about homosexuality from the Old and the New Testament. But that's a whole nother discussion. And so anyway, I was listening to today's show, and it's a real interesting subject, how to communicate with our youth. And that is so very important that we learn how to do that. There's some kind of noise in the background. I'm hearing something.
I don't know. I don't hear anything.
Okay. It sounds like, well, it sounds like every time I talk, I hear wind. Or maybe it's, let me do this. No, it's not that. Okay. Well, anyway. Like I was saying, it's a very interesting subject, and it's something that I was looking at when I first heard it in Deuteronomy. You know, of course, we should talk to our kids, try to discover who they are and try to emulate or example to them what they should be and how they can handle certain situations in life. You know, teach them and start teaching them early. I even heard, I read about the womb, speaking to them why they're in the womb. I mean, if we'll walk around the house talking to plants so that they'll do better, you know what I mean? We should talk to our kids in hopes that they'll do better. Don't wait. Start as soon as you can. Like you say, somebody spoke Spanish, and then it became natural, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think they say by the time when a child reaches age 3 or by the time they reach age 3, they've soaked up a whole lot that's going to go with them for the rest of their life. So if that's true, then we should start before age 3 trying to impress this or that on them. And, you know, my father used to push us all the time, and he would say, when we would ask why, you know, rather than saying, do it because I told you to do it, he would literally tell us why. Why are you making us do this? So when you're older, you'll learn how to earn a living for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you can't argue with that. And as we got older, it would change so that you can provide a home and a life for yourself and your wife. And I'm like, I ain't even married. What are you talking about? And then after we got older, he started, when he would ask us to do things, he would say, so that when I pass away, you can take care of your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a process to it. It was a preparation. And so all of us, when we got, we did exactly what he said, what we were led and trained to do, what was exampled in front of us, what was displayed. We all do that to this very day. Every one of us do the exact same things that he did, that she did. And so it works. And it works so well. This is what the Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 3. This is where the children of Israel, you know, this is Moses giving that second speech to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. And their parents kind of didn't make it. They messed it all up. They couldn't pay attention to God, wouldn't do what he said, wouldn't believe the Lord could provide. So it didn't work for them. Now, this is the second generation of those that came out of Egypt, and God's trying to get them ready to go into the promised land. So the first thing we want to know is that he's trying to get them ready. And how does he do that? With teaching. That's how he does that. And what I want to impress on the listeners is, when does he start that? Listen, I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and just about 9 verses I want to read to you. These are the commands, decrees. Before I even started reading, the way I learned to read is I used to get these little magazines in school called the Weekly Reader. And they would have these little cards in there that said you could order Dr. Seuss books. We loved the Cat in the Hat. So I would take that card and I would fill it out. And it said, do you want to pay now or bill me later? I hit bill me later. So they send the books, and I never got the bill, but I got the books. And I loved reading those books. And as many as I ordered, I got. They never figured out I was never going to pay these people. But what I didn't figure out, my mother and father was paying these people. They were glad I was reading the books. And so that's how I learned how to read. They would put books on the table, even Reader's Digest. And we was nosy kids. We would open that up and start looking at it. And my father, we knew those were his, but he wouldn't say nothing to us. We just flipping them pages. Of course, we looking for cars. And so he started buying Auto Digest. And now we in there looking. But they were training us. We didn't know it. We were just being inquisitive kids and wanting what our parents were into. And so that's where I learned how to read. Ordering books that I thought I was stealing. It made it so much fun to read a stolen book. But anyway, it wasn't stolen. They were paying for it. They were just glad I was reading it. I thought I was getting away with something. These are the commands, the decrees, the regulations that the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. This is Moses talking to these people. This whole book is a 2-hour and 8-minute conversation. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. Now, our children, think about your children growing up. You're going to give them some rules and regulations to live by. You're going to give them some stuff that's going to help them when they grow up. Now, you know how kids are. They're going to fight against it. But you just have to keep doing it. You have to do it. The father of the prodigal son did it so well that when his, you know how the scriptures say, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Well, that boy left his father's house, but he sure didn't leave the teaching he received at his father's house. Because when he came to his senses, what senses? His father's house. In my father's house, it ain't like this. There's plenty of food. Servants got it better than this. So he remembered what he had learned and saw at home. I'm going back to that. That's why it's so important that you never give up, even when it seems. So now that prodigal son probably was sitting at the table looking like he wasn't even listening. But he was listening. He heard because it came back to him. And when he had, you know, gone all as far as he could go, that came back to him. That was his senses, what he learned at home. So parents, don't stop teaching your children. I found that out when I was teaching back in 1978. They put me with teenagers. And I'm telling you, they would have their head down on the table, literally right in front of me. Wasn't even scared, just head on the table or just staring at the ceiling or something, right? But guess what? If I asked them a question, they knew the answer. But they were listening and paying attention, okay? And so I stopped worrying about the way they listened. I just knew they were, even if they looked like they took a nap. But anyway, listen to what the Lord said. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear, or a better word for us would be reverence. Reverence the Lord, your God, as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you'll enjoy a long life. The life that you live will be enjoyable. It's not really speaking about a bunch of years, okay? But it's talking about the days that you do have will be enjoyable, even when things go wrong. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you'll have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God and your ancestors promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone, is the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That's the beginning of it. Parents, listen, O parents, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you, parents, we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. And we, parents, must commit ourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Now the children come in. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them about your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. And he takes it into the New Testament saying the exact same thing when you get to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 or chapter 6, he says, children, they have an obligation. They're obligated to obey their parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. So the wrong thing for children to do is disobey their parents. That does not please the Lord, and it demonstrates that you're kind of acting like you don't belong to the Lord. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. I don't think a lot of kids or parents really hear this verse. Children, obey your parents because you belong to your parents. Oh, no, that's not the way that's read. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to your friends. You belong to your boyfriend. You belong to your husband. You belong to your wife. You belong to your girlfriend. No, it says, children, obey your parents because you, children, belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. That pleases God. So if children want to please God and demonstrate that they belong to the Lord, they have to obey their parents. Or otherwise, there's something altogether different. Says, honor your mother and father. That is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your mother and father. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Now, how many of you know Jesus obeyed his mama and daddy? But Jesus only lived 33 years. 33 years went well for him. Of course, Jesus came here with a mission, right? There's a whole lot of folks who did not make it past 20, but they had a good life. The life they did have was good. So this is not a guarantee of a length of years. All of us would love longevity involved with our years, right? But that's not the promise here. The promise is the years you do get will be well. They will go well for you, even when things don't go right. Paul and Silas got locked up in the Philippian jail. That wasn't right. They got locked up for preaching the gospel. That wasn't right, but it sure went well for them. Whole jail got tore up, and because they trusted God and sang praises to him at midnight, everybody in the jail got saved, even the jailer. The warden got saved. Now here's the fathers. Wow. Didn't say mothers. It says fathers. He begins talking to the fathers about what? Teaching children. We like to say the mother, that's her job, is to teach the children. No, it's not. It's the father's job. It's the father's job to hit up the Bible school in the home. Now, if there's no father there, you know the mother's got that job automatically. Jesus ain't going to wait till some man show up. He going to take that mother like when Joseph died and Mary was left with Jesus, Joseph, Simon, and Judas and James, his brothers. Five boys and who knows how many sisters. It just says, and his sisters. Now Mary is left with all these kids. Okay, it becomes her responsibility to make sure that they are raised up and trained. What we read over there in Deuteronomy, that falls on her now. Or it becomes her job to get those boys and those girls to somebody who can teach them. And you can tell Jesus' brother James wrote the book of James. That tells me he was literate. He could read and write. Tells me Mary went off and found a scribe to come to her house and teach them how to read and write. We know Jesus could read and write. We heard him reading. And we saw him or heard of him writing on the ground in John chapter 8. He was both literate and he could write. Read and write. So fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Fathers have a role. If the father is there, it is his responsibility to God to create that Bible class in the house, even if mama do run it. Because in their culture, women ran the home. That's why for the first 300 years in Christianity, women pastored most of those house churches that we read about in the Bible. When it says they had a church at their house, well, in that living space, in that domestic dwelling, men were quite comfortable with women being in charge. So most houses were pastored by women. Of course, when Rome took over in the years 300, right, and 400, well, most of the Romans who came into Christianity brought the culture of Rome with them, and Rome did not allow women to be in charge, so they demoted them. But it wasn't like that with the Lord. The Lord said, fathers, take the leading role in teaching your children and don't provoke them. Just because you're the man, just because they live under your roof, just because you provide everything, don't make them hate life. They're not yours. Didn't we settle that up at the top? Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Parents, understand this. Those ain't your kids. Those are God's kids. And he's trusting you to raise them for him. Am I preaching, Jesus? It sounds like I'm preaching. It sounds just like I'm preaching. He gave you those kids to raise for him. I'm telling you, it sounds like preaching to me. But he says, just talking. Anyway, he says he gave you fathers, gave you the leading role. Now, again, we talked about it. The father ain't there, then mother, you got that leading role. I'm talking to you. Don't make your kids so mad. And don't make them want to go to church, not hate going to church. Do it in a way that it's a benefit for them, something they want to do, not something you make them do. But whether they like it or not, God's making you responsible for their Christian education. He's making you directly responsible for their Christian education. So he don't want you to provoke them to anger. See, here's a hurting thing that tore me up back in the day. I was teaching this Sunday school class. I've said it before, and it'll never probably go away from me because it hurt me so bad. A, a parent was in the church really praising up the Lord. And I guess the child saw that. I was like, wow, that's a parent who loves the Lord. And the child came up to me after church, apart from the parent and everybody else, and said, Reverend Overall, I just want you to know it ain't like that at home. He knew that I saw them praising it up. And that child was in my class and wanted me to know it ain't like that at home. That mixes children up. When we one way at home and another way in church, that mixes them up. That makes them, that provokes them to anger. And they don't want to go to church. Do it just because I said. You know, yes, you're the father. Yes, you're in charge. But you don't want to provoke you. You don't want your children hating to do work. There's a way to do everything. You know, I mean, think about it. Does Jesus treat us like that? How does he get us to do what he wants us to do? Does he treat us like that? No, he doesn't. So don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord, not your own ideas. Let me read this, and I'm going to get through preaching, because I'm going to preach. I Jesus say, you didn't preach the sermon. I'm going to Hebrew. I want you to hear how God relates discipline, okay, to his, and how he says that discipline demonstrates that you love your kids. Listen to how the Lord says he disciplines his kids, and that's us, right? Because we read over there, children obey your parents because you belong to who? To the Lord, right? So the Lord getting ready to talk about how he do his kids. And I'm at verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And have you forgotten the encouraging words, wow, encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure the divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who's never disciplined by his father? Notice that? Didn't say mother, said father. And all these fathers are completely absent. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means that you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years during the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. So fathers, when you discipline your children, remember how God disciplines you. It all works out for your good. It makes you better. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So get with your kids, parents, and remember they belong to God. And remember this, God is trusting you. He's not going to come down here. Jesus ain't coming down here to talk to them. Jesus do all his talking through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And he speaks these words from God's word to us. This is what he is. God trusts you, parent. God, I don't care how you got that child. God knew that child was coming here, and when he breathed into that lump of flesh that a sperm and an egg created, and it became a living soul, and that soul is with you, that means God's trusting you to do this for him. So do them kids like he does you. Please the Lord with raising your kids. I done preached the whole sermon. The don't the church is over.
Good stuff.
This ain't even the church.
All right, it's about church too. I know my brother said, he said, your show should be called Bring Back the Fathers.
telling you, because they don't even come to church no more. I used to see the church filled up with women, and they love the Lord, and they'll hazard, they'll go through whatever hazard they have to get there. But the Father, Lord Jesus, at the crib watching TV. That's why I be so glad when them young folks are sitting over there in the back of the church, you know, Melanie's kids and her all her grandkids. Those young guys are in the church with their, you know, and that's, hey, they're not married yet, but they're on their way, but they are there with their kids.
That's right.
I was so
they're
happy.
They're trying to do the right thing.
Yes, they're trying to do the right thing, and we should encourage that to, you know, get all the way right, and praise God, you know. But I love seeing them there, like with Marcus and Carrie come in, and they, and the kids all sitting right there with them, the whole family right there in church. And I love seeing that when fathers come out and mothers come out, and you know, that's that family. And God is trusting them and willing to pay a whole lot if you do it right, or even try to do it right, and they still go crazy.
Yeah, we have to encourage our young adults, that's, you know, new parents and all that. We have to let them know that we're on their side and that we're going to help them whatever they need help with. And when you encourage them like that, and you encourage marriage, and you encourage, you know, you being a family man and wife and all of that, then they, that gives them something to look forward to. And it's okay, they support us in this. Yeah.
That's what I was telling Amber, and I'm so proud of the grandmother that came on today. She's doing an awesome job because she's putting in the time and the work, and it shows. And that's why the Lord had me to go to Amber and say whatever. I want you to know that we are 100% behind you. Whatever you decide to do, you don't even have to worry about it. You got help.
Right.
You know, and they need to know that because life ain't easy. We don't even like it.
It's not easy.
But, we don't even like it.
Right.
We be telling them, be strong. We don't
be
even
strong.
Like being
Come
strong.
We're going to pull you along. Just be strong.
Just hold on. What you think I'm going through?
Right,
you know,
right.
But, then you look at them
something.
And think, I say age and their mindset, they're not ready for this. This stuff is something else. I thought school was just horrible. 12 years of school, I am gonna die in here. I ain't gonna never get out. And then I got out. I want to go back to school. I want to
go
all the way back to the kindergarten.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes,
there ain't no going back. Once you are dealt up, that's it. You there.
Why we got to take the hard way out? I'm trying to understand this. Why we take the hard way out? Because, you know, you feel like I got a kid that I've been working with for years since he was a child. And it just breaks my heart, you know, that he's on that other side. And now he's saying, oh, I wish I had stayed home that day. Oh, I wish I had listened. Oh, you told me. Oh, you know, and that's like, wow. I said, the only thing you might do in that is just write a book. Write about a book, what's going on, what has happened, so you can help somebody else, you know.
That came up. I was doing some sermon work for some time in the future, and that came up, and we was talking about learning things the hard way, and the Lord reminded me how I had to learn the hard way to pay child support. I mean, he kept, the friend of the court kept sending letters talking about show cause. I'm like, I ain't showing nothing. And then they send another letter. I'm ignoring them, but everything's going on, so I feel like I'm cool. So they send me a show cause, and I decided to go down there and tell them some sweet lies. Plus, I'm a Christian now, and Jesus going to get me out of it. Ain't no way they're going to lock me up because I belong to Jesus. Lord have mercy. That afternoon, I was on by 11 o'clock, I was on my way to Wayne County Jail. And the next day, by noon, I was on my way to the Detroit House of Correction for failure to comply with the order of the court to pay child support. Well, see, Jesus tried to teach me the easy way. He said, I bless you. Just get a job and stop this stupid hustling, and you can pay your child support. I'm like, I ain't working for nobody. I'm a hustler. Lord have mercy. I don't know why we like to go the hard way, but I see people going down that road, and I'd be like, dude, I can already tell you where the potholes and everything out on that road. That is a raggedy road you on.
Yeah. And it's like the youth, it's like they don't really want, they're not listening. It's like, it's like they're worse than us. They don't want to listen. And then, you know, it's, that's why it's good to have that father around and that, that mom to do what she do and the dad to do what he do, because they're going to direct you in the right direction. They're going to point you right. And, boy, they, the kids
Ethan,
are not getting the breaks that we got back then. They're not getting the breaks. They're just like one and done.
They're getting real hard time. You know, even if the, you know, we have so many families today where the mother is not married to the father, but, you know, forget that. Concentrate, forget your relationship crapped out. Okay, concentrate on the child.
Yeah.
And stop fighting each other and using the kid to get at each other. Concentrate on your position. You're still the father, even though you're not married to the mother. You're still the mother, even though you're not married to the father. And this obligation that God has put on you is still there. So do that. You know, the worst thing, deadbeat dads, if you're hearing me, listen to me. If you want to, if you want to need Jesus to get through Father's Day, keep on ignoring your kids because you mad because she got a boyfriend. Keep on not being in your child's life because you mad you got to pay child support for the child you made. Keep on doing that stuff. And when you get older and start making sense, Father's Day going to come, and you're going to be tore up. It's going to take Jesus to help you get past Father's Day. That's going to become the worst day of the year for you because you ain't no father. You're a sperm donor. I heard a girl say, she kept referring to the father of her child as sperm donor. She never did say his name, never did say he's a man or any, just kept calling him sperm donor because that's what he was. He turned them, he put those words in her mouth. So fathers, get involved in your kid's life, no matter who your, the mother of your child is involved, and lose that sickening term baby mama, baby daddy. That is so stupid. This is straight up stupid. She is the mother of your child. You need to go watch a woman have a baby. That'll fix your head up real quick. You watch that baby come out of there, that will, and you see what she's going through for you, that will fix your head up real quick. It told me all the smithereens. I was tore up. I fainted both times. I didn't want to say that because it's embarrassing. But I fainted. Cat, I fainted both times. I fainted. When my son Gerald was being born, I was holding his mother's hand in the hospital when Ida Drive was there. I was holding his mother's hand, and she started going into contractions or the pains, and I fainted. I woke up in a waiting room with all the smock stuff on and everything. I just couldn't take it. So, but once you see that, that'll change, because a woman go through something to have a child for a man. That is something right there. That is not something like to take lightly. And it took me seeing that to get my head right. But I was a stupid clown for years until Jesus finally got through to me and straightened me out. And then you go even crazier, because now you're trying to make up for all the lost time. And you can't do that. You just have to pick up where you are and go forward. But it can really cause you to have problems. It took the Lord Jesus to get me over me and the stuff I had done.
Yeah.
So if you want to mess your life up like that, keep on doing what you're doing, but get involved. Get involved. God will help you.
He will. I know. When I see older men and senior men on the streets, you know, and, like, out there begging and things like that, I'd be like, where are your children? You know, I'm like, wow. You know, and you just really wonder, you know, what did you do? What happened in your life that you're in this condition? And where, if you had any children, where are they? Were you in their life? You know, that's the way I'd be thinking. Were you in their life? Did you abandon them? What happened, you know, that they're not here for you if you have children? I don't know. That's the crazy way I think sometimes.
If I can, I want to recommend Jonathan's book. It's mm-hmm. written by Jonathan Tate, and the title of the book is Close But Not Close.
Mm-hmm.
That is an awesome book. I mean, his father was a couple of streets over,
mm-hmm.
and here he is over here without a father, and they ain't had no relationship. They have one now, but they didn't before. And so he wrote an awesome book out of all that pain, came an awesome book called Close But Not Close. And you can go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on Christian Resource, and it'll give you a link to get it.
That's right. Order a couple and just give them to some young men that don't have their fathers, and maybe that'll help them.
Yeah. Give them hope.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should have a show that says Bring Back the Fathers. Yeah. Yeah.
And before you cut me off, that should be the last thing I say. I did a show one time here on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Where Are the Fathers? And we did the show the whole week, and a ton of women called in, commented, and said this and that. But no men called in. Show's over. I'm all tripped out, like, where were the men? So I saw some of the men that I thought would call in and say something. And I said, man, did you listen to the show? They said, yeah, I heard everything you said. I said, and why didn't you say anything? They said, I told my wife what to tell you.
Oh.
I was like, Lord Jesus. I was like, Lord have mercy.
Wow.
So you had your, okay, Adam, keep I'm like, dude,
wow.
You didn't feel like you need to speak on your own behalf? You had your, you told your wife what to say?
Wow.
I mean, this is a show about where the men at.
Right. We need to hear their voice so we can understand. Wow. Well, maybe you could do that again.
No, that's your job.
Do it again. Do it again, and then we'll promote it.
just say that's your job.
No. Here I go, woman, telling you what to do. Okay. Well, we're gonna bring them fathers back. Yeah, they gonna come back. It's something new about to happen. That's right. It's
just really does my heart good, though, to see Anthony, and I think the other one is named Demars. You know, it just does my heart so much good to see them in church like that, you know, with their children, you know. And they're so young. And I just think that's awesome. That's awesome right there.
That's a safe place to be.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole little unit. I like that. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, we're going to keep encouraging them. Well, thank you, Pastor Awesome-O, as usual. It's always good. Always good conversation. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so.
You're welcome. I told you I'd be on fire.
I know. Hey. Right. Just keep that. You bring the fire, too. Yes, sir. We are grateful.
Thank you, everybody.
Appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate you, too, Pastor. All right. Well, thank everybody for listening. I'm going to keep my 4 o'clock slot because time goes so fast. And you know, sometimes I just think of these shows at the last minute because I'm, you know, when I'm always talking to kids, they kind of give me what to say, you know, and so that's cool. So I'm just going to keep on doing it, you know, whatever way God had me to do it. And because this is about the kids, and I like to, you know, just keep it focused on them. And so just thank everybody for listening. Going to return to 4 o'clock next week. That's what everybody's used to. I had something planned today that didn't even happen, so I'm going to keep my 4 o'clock slot. And so if you want to plan something with cats, then you're going to have to do it around that. Okay. So thank everybody for listening, and we will see you next week. Same time, same place for a time, 4 o'clock. Tell somebody about Bring Back the Family. Send them a text. Send them out the flyer that I sent to you so that we could just keep this thing going and that we could bring these family relationships back to where they should be, okay? So that, like I said, the respect, the relationship and the respect that we were raised on. If we want these kids to know about that and to carry on from where we left off, then we have to communicate with them. We have to talk to them and find out where they are, what they're feeling, and you know, what's on their minds, and look into their talents, you know, because they might not see their talents, but you could see them. You could see them, but encourage them. And whatever you do, encourage the youth. Every step of the way, let them know that they're smart, they're intelligent, they're strong, they're beautiful, and they need to hear that, okay? So until we meet again next week, if I can find something good, close on here. Da-da-da-da. Okay, all right. Okay, so see you next week, next Sunday, same time. Spread the word. Bring Back the Family is here to stay. We got some great things coming up, some great events, some great programs for the youth, and I'm just looking forward to that, and I hope that you guys are looking forward to it too. So spread the word. Be safe, and love, love.
I believe the children are our future.
Teach them well,
teach them
let
well.
Them
let them lead the way.
Show them all the beauty
all
they do that inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children my need, a lonely place to be, and so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away.
love.